Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. Attorney General Ken Paxton joins the program, as well as Byron Donalds. And NBC News edits out Jesus Christ. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. And become an insider and get exclusive insights at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. The invasion is the number one issue happening in the country. Number one issue. And the guy that is focused on it is a great friend, and we had his back 100%, and he is back on the saddle with some huge news. But also remember that there's bad people that are trying to weigh him down, that are trying to interfere with his ability to enforce the law and uphold the law of the right people of Texas, which is the centerpiece of all this. Of course, is Ken Paxton. He's doing an amazing job, and we're going to get into some of the details here with Shelby Park. But first, Attorney General Paxton has some news to share regarding just some of the leftover nonsense from the fight over the summer. Attorney General Paxton, thank you for taking the time. Walk us through some of that with the whistleblowers. I know you have some news to share.
Yeah, so as you know, this has been a battle since my election when the Bush group, Karl Rove, came after me in a group called Texans for Lawsuit Reform, Dick Weekly, Dick Trabalsi, and they spent millions of dollars to beat me. We ended up overwhelmingly winning the primary, beating George P. Bush 68-32. We overwhelmingly won our general election. I ended up spending about $16 million. And then when they had me down to no money and they knew I couldn't raise money during session, they impeached me so that I wouldn't have the ability to hire lawyers and I wouldn't have the ability to defend myself. That's why they chose that time period. And they came after me with this ridiculous impeachment where there was no due process. There was no evidence and there were no witnesses that were sworn in. And we went through that saga, which the world got to see. And despite the fact that they took me through the whole thing illegally, it was an overwhelming win for me. That was the second attempt to get me out of office. And the third attempt has been this so-called whistleblower or rogue employee lawsuit that they started 3 years ago. We actually settled it over a year ago. And the reason we settled it is because we were in a jurisdiction, Travis County, Austin, where we didn't think we had much chance. And this is what Trump's dealing with. When you're in jurisdictions where the law and the facts don't really matter, you're going to spend a lot of money and lose. You try to figure out some way to resolve that because this isn't me getting sued. This is the taxpayers having to pay for this. So we settled it. And now we have this issue where basically the local courts have said, oh, that contract that you signed doesn't matter anymore. The whistleblowers are going to get this, overturn it and just dismiss it as if they've never signed it. And so we've decided, you know what, we're just going to amend our answer. And we're going to say, look, we're not playing this game anymore. Give us whatever liability you think we have, whatever damages. The end result is the legislature has already turned this down because they have to agree to pay these guys whatever that amount is. And so if there's a judgment for more, the legislature has already said they're not paying anything. And so there's no reason for us to let them harass my office when we're dealing with all of these immigration issues and suing Pfizer. And we've got this huge Google lawsuit. There's no reason to distract my office anymore.
Yeah, seriously.
On a case.
Yeah. And by the way,
case, it doesn't matter.
No, this whole thing is insane to me. And by the way, the Texas House and the grassroots of Texas, they should pay nothing, not a dime, not a dime to any of these people, okay? You cannot justify this. You cannot subsidize this. You cannot reward this type of behavior. And understand the big game at play here, right? You have a historic invasion like we've never seen, and Texas is the centerpiece of it. And you have this fire-breathing, amazing, constitution-loving Texan attorney general who's doing a great job. And he has to defend himself against all this nonsense, the invasion, and the distraction campaign against Ken Paxton are directly connected. I hope our audience understands it. Ken, your thoughts?
No, it's absolutely true. We just sent a letter back to the Department of Justice yesterday where they threatened us because the governor, doing the right thing, took over this park that Border Patrol was using as a staging ground to allow illegals to come across at will. And they threatened us. Department of Justice said, hey, you can't do this. We're in the business of protecting the border, and you're stopping us from protecting the border. I sent back a letter yesterday saying, I haven't seen any sign of you protecting the border. We're gonna continue to disallow Border Patrol from taking our lands, our public lands, and using them for their benefit. And so that's the fight we're in. We're in the fight over the buoys. We're in the fight over them cutting down our fences. And those are the things that I don't want to lose sight of while we're dealing with this ridiculous lawsuit in Travis County.
Yeah, we just got to end this. The legislature should say we're paying you nothing, we're not rewarding this. So Ken, I just want to talk about the Shelby Park deal, and I think this is the big one. This is the one where it's going to go up to the Supreme Court. And how would you prefer the Supreme Court rules on this? What is the argument that you hope that they receive? I can imagine that you want the Supreme Court to say that if and when the federal government does not do their constitutionally prescribed job, that the states are allowed to step up and do it. It seems like Shelby Park is a perfect opportunity to make that argument.
Yes, and you've hit it exactly. That's one of the cases. The other is this wire cutting thing. Both of them, and then also our election legislation the legislature passed where they're basically saying we're going to deport people. So all of these are opportunities for the Supreme Court to back it up from their Arizona v. U.S. case where they said that states can't do anything even though the federal government fails to enforce law. And that just can't be right because there's too many consequences to my state, to the country, when the court adopts a policy or a position that allows the federal government to have laws, not enforce them, and then suddenly we can't do anything about it. That cannot be right. And I hope that as we go forward on these cases, the Supreme Court will take one of them and say, no way, Texas has a right to defend themselves.
Yeah. And so the federal government's going to have a tough time with this one. And what is the argument that they're making, that it's not happening, but it's good that it is, or that we as the federal government have the full right to not do our job?
They're making the argument in this particular case that they have the right to go on public lands, which they don't. These are not private lands. These are not federal government lands. These are controlled by governments of Texas. And there's nothing in law that allows them to just walk into our property, take it over. They're also arguing that we are interfering with their ability to enforce federal immigration law, which, as we all know, they aren't enforcing federal immigration law. They're doing just the opposite. They're encouraging illegal immigration. So, you know, they mocked the laws that they say that they're enforcing. And I made that point in my letter back. You're mocking these laws by saying you're enforcing them, because we all know that's not true.
No, they're ignoring. And in some ways, Ken, as someone who really cares about the law, this is super irritating, I'm sure, because they think they found a cute loophole where they just don't enforce it, or they passively enforce it, or they have 1% of an excuse to say it, where it's obvious what they're doing, that they control the bureaucracy, they control the federal branch, and they just do what they want without any sort of check and balance. And I just think we need to take a step back and remind people the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. And while we, of course, want to live in a federalist system where the federal government handles invasion type matters and handles foreign policy type stuff, if and when, morally, the law will align with this, but if and when they don't do their job, Texas doesn't just have a right, you have a moral obligation to do this.
Charlie, I don't think you could have said any better. I mean, that's really the position we're in. We have a federal government that's just letting bad things happen, whether it's importation of drugs, whether it's just the cost of dealing with this, whether it's other crime that's going up in our state, we cannot be forced to sit on the sidelines while the federal government imposes this on our state. That cannot be what the law is. I cannot imagine that the founders envisioned a federal government that would not protect the borders, and then states were supposed to just sit there and go, well, you know, it's all sorry, the federal government won't do it. I'm sorry, we're just going to let this happen.
Ken Paxton, we're behind you 100%. Any other issues or cases you have in front of you want to make our audience aware of?
Well, huge one is our Pfizer case, where we're suing them over the vaccine, the fact that they didn't tell us the truth about the effectiveness. They claimed 95%, it wasn't even close to that. And then they tried to censor people who talked about it. And then in a year, we're going to be in trial with Google over their control of the internet advertising. And we think we've got both of those cases.
That's a big one. No, by the way, Google is super worried about Ken's case. I hope everyone knows this has been under the radar. It's been going on for years. I know some of the people that helped you put it together, Ken. It is a very, very well-written complaint about how this oligarchy monopoly, Google, has been manipulating ad sets. Ken, I love it. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. While back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since I used Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155 or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. I want to show you what a civilizational suicide looks like. We talk about that a lot. I want to show you a piece of tape of how an excellent, rich, prosperous country slits its own throat. Rarely are you able to capture such horrific self-mutilation on camera, but we found it. We found it, and we've seen it, and it's hard to watch. This is a hard video to watch. So this is your trigger warning graphic. You're about to see the wealthiest, most prosperous, greatest civilization ever to exist kill itself slowly. Of course, we're talking about this cut, Play Cut 93.
How is diversity and diversity targets working into the ABA Academy?
We have committed that 50% of the class of the classes will be women or people of color. Today, only 19% of our pilots at United Airlines are women or people of color. And by the way, from all the data I've seen, that's the highest of any airline in the country.
White males don't just dominate in the cockpits, also in the C-suite at United Airlines.
Well, look, at United, I'm proud of the diversity that we actually have in our C-suite. I think if you look around corporate America, one of the things we do is for every job when we do an interview, we require women and people of color to be involved in the interview process.
Now, the buried lead of this is just the questioning from Axios. The moral framework is already established, and Scott Kirby seamlessly enters into it as if there's no pushback, there's no questioning. And Axios is like, well, of course, Scott Kirby, remind us that you are doing the diversity thing. And Scott Kirby says, yeah, of course we're doing this. By the way, Scott Kirby literally is a drag queen. There's viral video of him being a drag queen. And instead of totally rejecting it and putting merit and excellence above apartheid-style race-based hiring programming, Scott Kirby, by the way, this is a video of Scott Kirby, who's a drag queen. He's an activist. He's an ideologue who is now running one of America's most popular airlines. There are very few things out there. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of things. But the stakes are literally pretty high. Huh, get it? You're 35,000 feet. That's the CEO of United Airlines. When it comes to flying an airplane, does that make you more reassured, the CEO of United Airlines dancing like that, the next time you have to fly from Newark, New Jersey to Los Angeles or to go see a loved one at Chicago O'Hare International Airport? That clip right there is civilizational suicide. Scott Kirby saying, yeah, half of all of our new pilots are going to be black women of color, people of color, or women. Are they going to be qualified? Are they going to know what they're doing? Are they going to be the best, the excellent? No, they don't care about that. And just like we saw with the Harvard admissions, they have to lower the standards to try to meet the criteria of their cult of diversity. Now, of course, the Axios person is awful, not very smart. But if I ever got the opportunity to be interviewed by that Axios individual or the Scott Kirby person, just say, hold on, time out a second. Why is it, Scott Kirby, that so few women want to become pilots? Is it because that we live in a patriarchy or sexist? Or is it because that women have different needs, wants, interests, talents, desires than men do? That men gravitate more towards engineering, strategy, machinery, and that women gravitate more towards the empathetic, instruction, teaching, education, healthcare. As I've mentioned a couple times, I've had to keep revisiting a hospital this week. Not fun at all. And I just, there was like a shift over and I had to leave the room for a second. So I just went for a walk. I said, I'm just going to count how long it takes for me to find a male nurse. In 12 minutes, I found one. Is that because of sexism? No, it's just more women want to get into nursing. Their talent set, their skill set is more about helping, empathy, compassion. It's far more about how can I individually connect with you and look after you. It's almost kind of motherly in a certain way. It's not to say that there's no good male nurses or that men shouldn't become nurses, but you walk into almost any hospital ward of rank and file nurses, it will be a vast majority female staffed community. Is there a big push to try to change that? There shouldn't be a big push to try to change that. There shouldn't be. Because men are better at some things than women, and women are better at some things than men. This is a truth of nature. United Airlines has 19% minority or women pilots. He said they want to have 50% of the new pilots be black and women. So a 31% change overnight. Is that even possible? Is that smart? How long until a, God forbid, a plane falls out of the sky and 300 people die so the cult of diversity can say that we did our job? Why penalize men for wanting to be pilots? A 31% increase in female and minority pilots? Scott Kirby wants revolutionary progress over safety and excellence. Christmas is here, everybody, and that means that you might have to be moving boxes or just it's tough, a lot of stress, and that means inflammation increases. And that means pain also might increase alongside of it. Relief Factor, though, is here to help. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against pain. It's 100% drug-free, and Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for pain. Relief Factor uses a unique and proven formula of natural ingredients like turmeric and many others to help you get out of pain, to reduce or eliminate the everyday aches and pains you're experiencing. So whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel better. Unlike pills that simply mask your pain for a short time, Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation, so you feel better all day, every day. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor Quick Start, and nearly 70% of people go on to order it again. Relief Factor isn't simply about feeling better. It's about living better, living the life you want, doing the activities you love. So see how Relief Factor can help you with their 3-week Quick Start, feel back, or your money back guarantee. So check it out right now, relieffactor.com, or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Slay that inflammation. Go to relieffactor.com. Byron Donalds is on my short list for vice president. One of the reasons is this, is that if you really want to terrify the deep state operators, you have to potentially have somebody that can cast a 12-year vision, not just 4 years, but 12 years, meaning you then have a vice president who could win two more terms. That would terrify the internal operators at the deep state. Joining us now is Byron Donalds. Congressman Donalds, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie, how are you? Good to see you.
Doing great. We play this game where I just say he should be vice president and you smile wonderfully. We've been doing it for the last year. I think you're doing a great job, Byron. So there's some looming fights here. Is there a funding deadline that is due on Friday night? And what is, I'm just making sure I got all my facts correctly. When does the CR expire? What is the latest here? It feels as if we're running out of time and going towards a shutdown.
So there's actually going to be a vote on the floor today about whether we're going to extend government funding to March 1st and March 8th, splitting a bunch of the appropriation bills into two segments. There's a vote in a couple of hours to see if we're going to extend government funding to March 1st and March 8th. There's a concern in the Republican conference that a majority of the conference doesn't support the continuing resolution. Not really sure where the votes are going to land, but we'll see in a couple hours.
Yeah. So what is the argument to extend? Why wouldn't we shut it down? How are you going to be voting just based on what we know? Because it seems as if we have the Democrats on the rope. They're finally conceding the border is an issue. Kicking it to March, I feel as if that would be a gift to Chuck Schumer and the Democrats.
Well, a couple of things. One, I'm voting no on this package. I think that at this point, this government should not be funded until the border is secured. That's my position. I told that to the leadership and told that to our members and your viewers and everybody else. The issue at hand is if you're gonna fund this government, what you're really telling Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell, for that matter, is that you're not willing to use every lever that you have in order to secure the nation's border. It is the number one thing that is causing serious security concerns in our country. It makes no sense that there have been now 7 million to 9 million encounters at the southern border in just 3 years during Joe Biden's presidency. And House Republicans have an opportunity to actually do something about it right now. And I believe that if you just continue to fund the government for another month or so, while the appropriators figure out how to fund the government, you're not going to have any leverage in order to get border security done. And I think that's a dereliction of our duty as members. So I'm voting no, and I would encourage all of our members to vote no.
I'm afraid, though, that there'll be 10, 20 moderate Republican members that are going to side with Hakeem Jeffries. And what is the fear here, Byron? You don't have this fear, but it feels as if this is a hostage situation where we get anywhere close to meaningful change and then they go shut down. And now this will be we'll be entering nearly 6 months of extensions of CRs. Before you know it, we're going to be in June and they'll be like, oh, we're in cycle. We'll just go CR post the election. This is truly should be the last stand. This is the it should have happened in November and December, but that's already over with. I just want to brace for impact. Are there going to be moderate defections here that keep this border that keep things open and no changes to the border through March?
I mean, look, Charlie, it's a possibility, but the point that I've been trying to make to the leadership team is that you have a golden opportunity to actually win the political argument of the day. And that question is, should our government remain open? Should we be sending money to Ukraine, et cetera, while our border is porously open? And I believe that the American people want our border secured, even if it means that tough choices have to be made up here on Capitol Hill. I mean, look at Joe Biden's polling. It's a mess when it comes to immigration and border security. He has lost all credibility with the American people. So you can win that political argument. I think if you're winning the politics of this, those moderate members, those swing district Republicans will actually stand with us to hold the Biden administration accountable to get this border secured. But if you don't take that leverage point, if you don't have that fight, you're not going to get this administration to change any policy. Because, Charlie, you know everything happening at the southern border is by design. This is what they have wanted, and they're doing it on purpose. The only way you change behavior in most people's lives is you change it with money, and you change it with funding. You don't change it with letters. You don't change it with talking points.
Yeah, it just, in addition, there's all these looming fights here, and this one shouldn't be tough at all. This one should not be difficult, where we've done enough CRs, guys, and I'm not a Speaker Johnson fan, but I'll just give him some, you know, benefit of the doubt. Fine, you had to get your feet underneath you, one CR. But at this point, and he might vote against it, but I'll be honest, I know how DC works. There'll be 20 moderates that cover for 20 people that wish they could vote for it. I hope not. I hope that this does not kick into March. And so Byron, I want to just kind of also contrast this. How did the Iowa results at all resonate with the members of your conference? That is a clear message that the Republican base, regardless of all the lawfare, all the nonsense, that immigration is a primary issue, that they want not just talk. In fact, some of the exit polls that CNN was, you know, just freaking out over, they were saying, oh my goodness, the Republican base wants transformational change in D.C. How are those results received by some of your colleagues?
Well, one real quick thing about the vote itself. This vote is going to be on a suspension of the rules. So you got to have two-thirds, as I understand, you got to have two-thirds of the members in the chamber vote for this.
Oh, excellent.
So you won't be protection
okay,
from 10 members or 20
good.
Members.
Okay.
Now, putting that aside, I think what Iowa has demonstrated to our members is that, first, President Trump is the nominee for our party.
Yes.
Our voters want him back because he was decisive, especially when it came to our border and when it came to foreign policy. There was no ambiguity. There was no weakness. It was strength and it was decisiveness. And that's what he brought. And our voters want that back. And so the point I make to our colleagues is our voters want us to hold this government accountable. They do not want to have this demonstration of governing if governing means that you're gonna do a slow walk towards the demise of America. You're gonna move slower than the Democrats are moving, but we're gonna govern. What our voters want is leadership and they want decisiveness. And you saw that, I saw that on the ground in Iowa. You're gonna see it on the ground in New Hampshire and every other state in the country. And Charlie, I will add, it's more than just base Republicans. Independent voters are wanting to see the same thing as well.
No, and I want the audience to know, Byron has been behind Trump early. He went on the CNN panels defending Trump when it wasn't popular, when other Republicans wouldn't touch him. And we'll never forget that, Byron. You've been excellent on defending Trump and really defending the MAGA agenda. Last question I have here, Byron, and it's a little bit wonky, but it's something I really care about. What is the timing? Just remind me, 7:02 in this FISA extension. They kicked part of it to the March. To me, this is one of the top issues that no one's talking about, because I'll be very honest with you. You know, I like Jim Jordan. I saw him on Fox Business last night. And, you know, they're making this big stink about how the FBI and how Treasury, their federal government, is flagging terms like MAGA and Trump, the financial institutions. And they're flagging things like Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's. And it's outrageous. It never should happen. But I say, guys, are we then going to be able to get a serious reform of 702 with the FISA? There's only so much complaining we could do about flagging stuff. What's the stuff we don't know about? So what is the timeline on FISA? And is this a fight that we can win?
Well, first, it is a fight that we can win, because actually you have some of the progressive members want to see reforms to FISA as well. There's some other stuff that they want in there that we don't agree with, but generally speaking, they want reforms as well. There is broad agreement that we got to stop the FBI and other elements of our government from spying on the American people. But the opportunity that was missed was actually doing this short-term FISA extension. I firmly believed it then, and I even more so believe it now, that if we had sent our reform package over to the Senate and left before Christmas, then the Senate would have a responsibility to take that package up and pass it. And you would have actually seen significant reforms. I think there's an opportunity to do that. But what we're starting to see up here on Capitol Hill is that the Chuck Schumer strategy is to slow walk everything. And you said it earlier, Charlie, to slow walk us into the presidential cycle. And then you'll have enough members say, I don't want to do anything because now I have to go fight for my own reelection. And that's the most unfortunate part of what's happened with FISA and other things. But specific to 702, we can get that done and have a credible bill come out of the House that would actually pass with Democrat votes in the House and would also pass in the Senate. That stuff can occur. We can get it done.
Byron Donalds, keep fighting. FISA is one of my top priorities, our top priorities. We can't let a renewal of FISA, and it never should have been extended even for the time that it was. But this 702 has been used and abused for political purposes from the intel agencies to infiltrate MAGA movements and do other sort of clandestine opportunity. We have to defang the FBI beast, and it starts with the 702 fight. Byron Donalds, thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. To thank you, they're having an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use promo code Kirk and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Get six-pack towel sets for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers. The 100% made in USA on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk and get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I think so highly of Mike Lindell. He's a great patriot. He's a terrific person. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So the WEF, they're meeting the World Economic Forum. And again, we don't want to put too much stock into what happens there. I think in some ways we need to look at, yes, the global game. Do we have this here? All right. I want your theories here. This is the World Economic Forum religious hour. Play cut 99. My favorite part are these white CEOs that just take it. Yeah, just like spread your witch doctor disease X on me. Could you imagine Rockefeller or JP Morgan or Winston Churchill? And you got some witch doctor coming up spewing on you? People wonder why we don't like the World Economic Forum. Here we are. We say it's a bunch of Satanists trying to recreate Genesis 11 in the city of Babylon. People say, oh, no, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. And you got this shaman spitting on people. Blech. So let the shaman be a super spreader of disease X. But I want to contrast that with a seemingly unrelated story. That's considered fine and multicultural and accepted, and people laugh at it, and it's fine. I mean, it doesn't overly bother me. It just kind of doesn't exactly make the World Economic Forum be taken seriously. But NBC News this last weekend, NBC corporate. I'm a big CJ Stroud fan. I like football. I love it. CJ Stroud is a rookie quarterback. He has the hot hand. He was one of the most impressive college quarterbacks I've seen in quite some time. Joe Burrow would get close to him. CJ Stroud had one of the most amazing Rose Bowl performances ever 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, whenever it was. It was unbelievable. And CJ Stroud is the quarterback for the Houston Texans. And CJ Stroud is a devout follower of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He speaks about it all the time. He has won a playoff game. It's unbelievably rare to find a true rookie quarterback to carry a team and to go win a playoff game. He's now in the divisional round with a chance to get into the semifinal, which is the game before the Super Bowl. And he loves Jesus. NBC News would probably air that witch doctor from the World Economic Forum. But this is an incredible clip. And if you're a Christian out there, and even if you're not a Christian, this should insult you. This is reprehensible stuff, where they edit out CJ Stroud's post-game interview where he mentions Jesus Christ our Lord. Play cut 100, please.
In your first NFL season and a record-setting performance for you, what does this moment mean?
I mean, it's been amazing being in this city for as short as I've been. But
first and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been amazing.
You hear that? So the first one was the edited one where he talks about the city. The second one, he says, yeah, I just want to give all the credit to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is NBC News so afraid of Jesus? Who at NBC News made that decision? Why are we putting up with this? This is an unbelievable piece of editing. It's completely unnecessary. It obviously took deliberate planning and top-down decision-making because it was. I saw it when it was aired, and I turned to Erica and I said, this is why I like this guy. Every time he mentions Jesus Christ. And CJ Stroud, if you're listening, please keep mentioning Jesus. Please. And for all the athletes out there, keep on mentioning Jesus. Make them edit it out. And CJ Stroud is not a political guy. He might tilt left. I don't care. But good for you, man. You mentioned the eternal. You mentioned divine. It's not all about you. The humility. And Jesus has impacted your life. And CJ Stroud has had a very difficult life. You know anything about his biography. But NBC News is so afraid of a 3-second mention of Jesus Christ that they deceptively edit it out of a post-game interview. They wouldn't do that to the shaman witch doctor at Davos. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. And God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.